The following program, the Rewind Sports 60, is sponsored by Jerry Riles and, to the extent applicable, his guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio Company or its management.
It's the freshest radio show in town. Feeling marvelous, I've been with Jerry Riles. It's the freshest radio show in town. Feeling marvelous, I've been with Jerry Riles. WCPT. WCPT.
This the coldest sports show. You will get in the hour from 6 p.m. to 7. Chilling with Lauren Cox and the man Marvelous. Shout out to Mr. Rouse and the Italian style. What sports is the only politic?
WCPT. WCPT. It's the freshest radio show in town. Feeling marvelous, I've been with Jerry Rouse. It's the freshest radio show in town. Feeling marvelous, I've been with Jerry Rouse.
Welcome, everybody, to the Rewind Sports 60. I am your host, Lauren Cox, and we are live on WCPT 820 AM, the fastest hour in sports conversation. Join in the conversation if you guys want. This is a fabulous evening, and we got a lot of sports to get into, so I'm going to get right into it, guys. I'm going to get to my esteemed panel. We have Dan Marver, the marvelous one. Dan, I wanted to hear your thoughts on Theo. Basically saying that he was done. 10 years run as the Cubs GM, did a phenomenal job, many think. Wanted to get your take on that. And then also the Bears game. As we know, unfortunately, we did fall to the Vikings Friday night. And so want to hear your take on Monday. Those two things. Monday night, yeah, sorry. Well, it felt like a Friday night. I'm losing track of time right now.
You're right, Lauren. This is a bye week. And some have argued the last 4 weeks, the offense was on bye week. So
pretty much.
So that takes care of that. In terms of, you know, we won't even have a result next Sunday because it's a night game against Green Bay.
Right.
But be that as it may, Theo, I mean, did a miracle in Boston and a miracle in Chicago. So,
yes,
and he's still in his 40s, so he has plenty of time to do whatever he wants to be the commissioner of baseball or whatever he wants to do.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, he can, you know, he wants to spend time with the fam, so go for it. And, you know, without any Bears football, I was focused on the Big Ten. I know Jerry's wearing his mask.
Uh-huh. There he is.
Yeah, you know, there was actually the undefeated teams all played each other yesterday. Ohio State, in a great game, defeated Indiana, and it was really a thriller. They won by only a touchdown, 42-35. And then up here in Evanston, the Cats, the Wildcats, won 17-7 over Wisconsin.
Yes, indeed.
And the Cats are now 5-0 in the Big Ten for the first time since 1995 when they went to the Rose Bowl. They actually went 8-0. They didn't play Ohio State that year, by the way. Their big wins were against Michigan and Notre Dame. But they did lose one game during the regular season, and without anybody going on Google, can anybody tell me in week two who Northwestern lost to in 1995? I was at the game.
Don't Google it. Give us a call. Tell them, Lauren. 773-763-9258.
Absolutely. And then the amazing Jerry Riles. Jerry, want to hear your take. The NFC North standings just got a little tighter.
Aye, aye, aye.
With that Bears brutal loss on Monday night, not Friday night. Jerry Riles, what say you about the state of the affairs of the Bears?
What's up, Lauren? How are you?
I'm wonderful. How
You're looking
are you?
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Holy Moses. You look like you just walked out of a Vogue magazine.
Hey.
You know, they just had the sexiest man in the world, right? Or sexiest man. Have you seen it?
No, I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
Who was it?
Was that you, Jerry?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I was runner-up. But,
okay,
you know,
okay.
I got to do a better showing next year around. But the sexiest man alive.
Who was it?
Other than me.
Idris Elba. Yeah.
Other than me is what you're saying.
Number two came in at Idris Elba. Number one, Jerry Rice.
Yeah, I stepped aside for this guy. I stepped aside for this guy. But the number one, the sexiest man alive, Michael B. Jordan.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can agree with that. Yeah, a little bit of Black Panther action for sure.
Yeah, he's cute. I stepped aside for him and said, "Okay, man, I'll let you roll with this one this time. Next year, you know, because I'm always nominated every year.
Right.
I'm right there every year. Speaking of nominations, real quick, congratulations to all of those here in the Chicago market who was nominated for a Chicago Emmy.
Okay.
They're actually having the awards presentation tonight. I think it starts at 7 o'clock. Obviously, virtual.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say congratulations to all the winners, all the nominees, and all the participants. Unfortunately, and I got a bone to pick with the selection committee, Lauren and Marva and Devin Tingle, because I submitted one of our shows.
Mm-hmm.
In the category for best interviews and on programming. And we didn't even get nominated.
That's
right.
That's a shame.
And it is a shame. And the show that I submitted was the fabulous one with the great Mayor Lori Lightfoot.
And that was a good
back
show.
In April.
Mm-hmm.
It was award winning show.
It was.
It was better than good.
We killed it.
It was an award winning show.
Definitely.
And I thought for sure. And in the category that we were in, there were five other entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple from Milwaukee, because it's in the region.
Okay.
It's in the Chicago market. It's in the Indiana market, I think. And I think it's in the Milwaukee, the Wisconsin market. But there are like three or four markets that have the opportunity to submit, you know, to enter into this.
Definitely beat them out.
One of them was with the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
There was a piece done on the Green Bay Packers, I think, brothers that play for them. The other one was on the Milwaukee Bucks. There was a round table regarding the Milwaukee Bucks. And locally, it was us, the Rewind Sports 60, WCPT 820 AM, and of course, you know, our website and Comcast and all of that good stuff. And then the other one was Kenny McReynolds, CIU, Channel 26 to you,
with the
interview with Harold Baines. Okay.
I work with him.
One of my greatest, I love Harold Baines. And then the final one was with the Chicago Cubs and the old timers, roundtable discussion.
Okay.
Billy Williams, Ferguson Jenkins, I think Randy Huntley. So that was the category. And those were the entrants out of the five. And I talked to my great friend, a great Dr. Gerard McClendon, and I said, "Hey, man, it's always great to get nominated.
Right.
It's always good to get nominated. Mm-hmm. You want to win the top prize, but it's always good to get nominated." And he and I talked, and it was like, you know what? With Lori Lightfoot, and that was a phenomenal interview. If you missed it, check it out on Facebook. Check it out on YouTube. Just type in Lori Lightfoot on the Rewind Sports 60. She spent a half hour on the show.
She did.
She talked everything.
Leave.
She didn't want to leave.
No.
And I'm like, come on now. We got the mayor of Chicago on during a pandemic, talking sports, calling the Bears offense pedestrian. I'm like, this is almost, you know, a no-brainer.
Right.
Is Nick Foles the answer? You know, we're going to see once they get out on the field and start putting it together on the offense. But the inconsistency of Trubisky over these last few years, it's just, even in the year that we had a great run, what you saw, I think, last year was the inconsistent offense wasn't producing. I thought the play calling was very pedestrian.
She said that on our show back in April, award-winning program. So I'm thinking with the two Bucks, with the Buck story, with the Packers story, with the Harold Baines story, with the Chicago Cubs story, and the great Lori Lightfoot, that's five right there. And I'm like, Lauren, I'm like, come on, it's a no-brainer.
Right.
We should at least be nominated.
I want to win. I don't want to just be nominated.
I want to win, too. We should at least be nominated.
Sure, correct.
Out of that.
Right.
And not taking anything away from those outlets, not taking anything away from those interviews, not taking anything away from that.
Mm-mm.
But when you lay it out there on the table, ladies and gentlemen.
We were looking good. We had our good outfits on.
Well, we always look good. But when you lay it out there on the table, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, I don't care what your political, your background, I don't care about any of that. What I care about is bringing you the best in the city of Chicago and the surrounding area. And when you have the mayor of Chicago And I was thinking, I was like, what if we had the old Mayor Daley? Either one of them, dad or son. What if we had them on for a half hour? Hands down. I go, well, we had a mayor of Chicago on during a pandemic talking about the Chicago Bears, compelling radio, compelling interview, and we can't even get nominated for the Chicago Emmy Awards that's taking place tonight. We were robbed.
We were robbed.
We were robbed.
You know, I think the one problem was is I wasn't in the studio for that event.
True. Maybe that was the case. True, maybe they went through and said, hey, you know what, Marvel is not in studio. I went, forget it. About it. So I do want to just let everyone know that we submitted. And honestly, truly, I believe an interview with the mayor of Chicago, regardless of how you feel about her, it's about the content. And we put it out there for you.
Yeah.
And it was compelling. And for us to get, not even to get a nod, and again, nothing. I love Harold Baines. I love Harold Baines. Kenny McReynolds and I, we go back decades.
Yep.
I love Harold Baines. But Harold Baines is not the most compelling interview. He is not the most compelling interview. I love him. When he had the bat in his hand over on the South Side playing for the South Side, the winning ugly team, Harold Baines was crushing baseballs. But if you sit down and talk to Harold Baines behind a microphone, he's not compelling. He's not.
I agree.
But anyway, congratulations to everyone who was nominated. Congratulations to those who went in. I got to say, I believe my good friend, I used to work with him at the old shop, the Score Sports Radio, Jason Goff for NBC Sports Chicago. He and his crew were nominated for a piece that they did. So good luck to Jason Goff and the NBC Sports Chicago team over there, Kevin Cross and all those guys. May you guys come away victors, but good luck to you. And, of course, congratulations if you walk away with the victor.
Amen.
Yes, indeed. Hey, we're not sore losers, but we just hate to lose.
Yes, we are.
We just hate to lose, not sore losers.
So
but,
you know what? I want to put it out there.
I think there should be a recount.
Yeah. Well,
exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
But ladies and hey, I just want to let the judges and the judging committee, to let them know that we will be back.
Yes.
We got. Let me tell you something. Anytime you miss any portion of the Rewind Sports 60 on WCPT 820 AM, it's always compelling.
Yes, it is.
Whether it's with the 17th letter in the alphabet with Quentin Demps, a former Chicago Bear. Of course, Bruce Herring coming up at the bottom of the hour to talk about this debacle we witnessed just past Monday night. Our Chicago Bears and Minnesota Vikings. Whoever is on the show, it's always compelling. So
always
we will be submitting another interview for the 2020 campaign, 2021.
Yes, we will.
We will.
We will.
But it, you know, I just got to dust off my shoulder over here on a little bit.
I hear you, Jerry.
Because, hey, you know, real is real.
Little tough. Real is real. But one truth from that interview was the great mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot. She talked about the pedestrian offense. And when you look at that 1913 Vikings victory Monday night, the offense was pedestrian much of the evening. Justin Jefferson really helped propel Minnesota's attack, and a lot of things took place. The defense did their job. Special teams did their job. Offense and coaching is another story. Dan, yeah. I want to talk to you a bit about your assessment of that game on Monday night.
You know, I think that if, unlike Sunday night, they don't have a flex availability on Monday nights, but I think that ESPN probably wished they had been able to flex that game out, because now the whole nation knows. I mean, I can't imagine. They probably lost viewers, seriously. And they, you know, people probably turned off the game and watched Jeopardy or something.
That second half, yeah.
It's just unbelievable that they can't, you know, we're talking about adjustments. I mean, it just is incredible that it's the same thing over and over again. Isn't that the definition of insanity?
Right.
Insanity it is. And Jerry, you know, we saw the play calling change. It looked pretty okay at one point. Talk to me about what you saw in the difference in play calling, because a lot of, you know, people were really, really on the fence. Was Matt going to actually give up the play calling? Some said it was the hardest decision that he ever had to make, but obviously what he was doing wasn't working. What did you see with the difference in play calling?
I honestly, the first 15 plays being scripted, you looked at it and say, okay, well, maybe we're going to see some something different. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're going to see a little bit more excitement. You know, I don't want to see the trickery plays. But as the game progressed and we started to see the three and outs and, you know, the debacles from the left to the right to the middle, downfield, whatever the case may be, it slowly but surely, and I think the announcers kind of alluded to it as well, and I know they talked about it in sports talk radio after the game, locally and nationally. It appeared as if, Lauren, that Matt Nagy took the playbook and said, okay, I'm going to turn everything over. What?
They still have 41 yards rushing.
Hey, Lauren, I'm going to turn it over. I'm going to turn it over to you. You just take these plays here.
Yeah, just read them.
So, just because he wasn't calling the plays doesn't mean they weren't trying to run the same plays that he would. And that was part of the problem.
I'm telling you, it was the same old thing. 41 yards rushing.
Yeah.
In the whole darn game.
Yeah. I mean, that was part of the problem was the fact that, you know, Bill Lazor didn't get an opportunity to really implement, based on what we saw, implement some of the plays I think that he would wanted to incorporate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what happened was that Matt Nagy just gave him the playbook and took some of the plays out and said, okay, let's work with this and
took
see what we got.
Took some of the 5,000 plays out.
Right? You know, and then, you know, as far as the defense is concerned and the Minnesota Vikings are concerned, it's like taking candy from a baby. And it was just embarrassing, like Marvelous said, on national television. It was despicable, embarrassing, and unacceptable. It certainly was. And I got to tell you, we talked to Quentin Dempsey last week, or a couple weeks ago, and we asked him, hey, listen, when do you think the wheels are going to really start falling off of this thing? And he said, hey, give it by Thanksgiving. Well, this is the week of Thanksgiving.
Oh, God.
And Lauren, I feel for those guys on the defensive side of the ball. Marvelous.
Yeah.
I feel for them. Even you talked about it to start the show off. Special teams.
Mm-hmm.
We produced. We were able to produce. And still offensively, we couldn't get anything done. And again, I've never played at the highest level. And I know what it takes to get there, and I know what it takes to stay there. But I also know it gets down to fundamentals and discipline. And we've had Richard Dent on the show over the past year talking about when he got into the league. And he's going up against, you know, guys squaring off in practice. And he's looking at Jimbo Covert and some of these guys, and he's like, damn, you know, these guys are freaking good, damn. And what Richard Dent told us is that once he put his hand, when he's gotten his position and his stance, once he put his hand on the ground and started digging in the dirt, he said it all came back to him. And what he meant was the fundamentals of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this, and I continue to they teach you the fundamentals of the game for a reason. The great John Wooden of UCLA, the fabulous basketball coach, every year, and his players didn't understand this, but every year when they came into camp, he would have them unlace their tennis shoes, the Converse or whatever they were wearing, and he'd have them, you know, lace them up. And they're like, Coach, we know how to tie our shoes. Why don't we? And he told them, this is where it all starts, and this is how it all starts. And you build from there. The point being is that these guys on the offensive side of the ball, on the offensive line, You might not be the best, and you certainly aren't the best. You really aren't. But it's mano a mano. It's how much pride you have. And you say, hey, I'm not going to let this guy over here kick my ass. And if he's kicking my ass, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm tired of him kicking my ass. I'm tired of it. And you're going to get down to the basics. You're going to get down to the fundamentals. You're going to get down to the discipline. And you're going to start kicking his ass. The Bears simply don't have that. And for those of you out there who say, hey, Jerry, you shouldn't be using that language. Well, you know what? I'm sorry about that. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But I don't like to turn on, and Marvelous said it, Monday night, national television, this is our team. And we're watching this debacle, and everyone around the country are watching us, and we're the laughing stock as far as this offense is concerned. We're the laughing stock as far as this coaching debacle, what we have as a coaching staff. It's a debacle. We're a laughing stock. So it's not time to be nice. It's not time to be kind. We're getting our asses kicked every single freaking week on television, locally, regionally, and nationally. Enough is enough. These fans, we can't even go to the games because of COVID. But these fans, over the years, have been supporting this freaking football team. Marvelous, how long have you been a Chicago Bear fan?
Well, let's see. How long have I been alive?
There you go.
I mean, I've been, obviously, a good 30 or 40 years.
Lauren, how long have you been a Chicago Bear fan?
All my life.
All her life.
Born and raised.
Yeah. Listen. I have the greatest picture ever taken in the whole universe. It's the greatest one ever taken. Of course, I'm in it. Right. Of course, I'm in it. But it's with the two greatest athletes that ever played in their respective sports. One with the great Michael Jordan. The other one with the great Walter Payton. Walter Payton played when we had nobody. And no offense to Reeve Sorey and Dennis Lick and Dan Jiggets and Bob Avellini and any of them. No offense. But Walter Payton played his ass off because he didn't want to lose, and he played with pride. And this is the week of the anniversary this past week, I guess a couple of days ago, Marvelous, where Walter Payton broke the all-time rushing single-game rushing record, knocking off O.J. Simpson, 273 yards. Walter Payton busted up for 275 yards with the flu. Let's take a listen, Lauren.
The day that he broke the single-game rushing record, before the game, he was laying on the floor in the locker room, covered up with towels, shivering and shaking. He had the flu.
Here's Schubert. Wide to the left is Scott. Hand off to Walter Payton. Plotting on the right side. It's popped out of the 30, the 35, the 40, the 45, the 50, and out of bounds. And Mikey Stearns running there. The 28-yard run by Mr. Explosion himself with the very first play of the ball game.
Inside the Viking 2-yard line. Avellini with a call. He gets a paint. Following his blocker. Trying to turn the corner to the right side. Gets into a touchdown.
That's a good story because I use them all my players all the time when they were feeling good. I just tell them that Walsh just had the single game rushing record with 104 temperature. And so you need to go get dressed.
Oh, inside handoff, big hole, face up the middle to the 50, comes to the outside of the 45, comes up, finding out of the cross of the 40 and down to the 39-yard line.
Despite his physical style, Payton only missed one game in his 13-year career.
They've been going to Payton all day. Payton and Noah Jackson had the flu, but they have simply dominated this football game.
Second down, 8 to Bears. Their own 32-yard line. They give to Walter again. Right to the outside of the 40. To the 45, the 50. The 45, the 40. He's down the far sideline. He's got two in the lead. And he gets the ball over the corner out of bounds. That gives Payton now 269 yards. He is 4 yards away from O.J. Simpson's league record of 273. Fourth down, goal from the 6-yard line. Loose backfield. Avellini to Payton on a sweep to the right side. He's a block. He cuts back into the 5 and struggles down to about the 2-yard line. Well, there's the rushing record. Walter Payton becomes the all-time single-game rushing leader in the NFL.
It was the day he ran for 275 yards against the Vikings that made him a legend.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Chicago Bear football right there. That is Chicago Bear football. 275 yards against the Purple People Eater. Well, they weren't the Purple People Eater by then. But against the Minnesota Vikings, Walter Payton, the illustrious, the greatest running back in NFL history, busts 275 yards in 60 minutes of work against the Minnesota Vikings with the flu. With the freaking flu.
Mm-hmm.
And we know about the greatest of all time as far as the NBA is concerned, and Michael Jordan, his flu game. With the flu.
With the flu.
These two superior athletes, these two superior beings, laced them up for the beloved city of Chicago and bust their ass to bring championships home to us. Yet, this debacle that we have to sit and watch every freaking week, and I told you guys. I told you. And Lauren, I apologize. I told you guys. Listen to me. When the Bears started at 5-1, everybody's dancing on Michigan Avenue. Hey, we're 5-1. The freaking coach, Matt Nagy. Hey, we're 5-2. They're on the plane doing the club dub. Hey, enjoy it. Yeah.
Sure
hey, Nick Foles go, hey, would you want to run lose pretty or would you want to run ugly? Hey, Nick, and I hope you're okay with your hip flex or whatever. Nick, we want to win and not be embarrassed the way you guys embarrassed us offensively. The defense, The defense. Lauren, let me tell you something.
Hey, Rock.
You probably don't know this about me. Marvelous, you probably don't know. You probably don't know this about me. You guys probably don't know this about me. But I'm not a violent guy. I'm not a violent person.
The Bears are driving you to it.
I'm of peace. I send good tides. I'm the guy who's going to sing Kumbaya.
I hear you, Jerry.
I am the guy. But if I played on the defensive side of the football for this 2020 Bears football team, if I played on the defensive side of the ball, if I'm Danny Trevathan, if I'm Khalil Mack, if I'm Akeem Hicks, and I hope Akeem Hicks is okay, if I'm Kyle Fuller, if I'm Eddie Jackson, if I'm on the defensive side of the ball, you know what I'm doing? You know what I'm doing? I go, hey, wait a minute. Because y'all partying when you win. Oh, Club Dub, right? There ain't no Club Dub because y'all 5-5 now. You know what I'm doing? I go, hey. I'm going to tell the coaches, I ain't even talking to the coach. I'm getting them the side eye. I'm looking at you like, man, get away from me.
Right.
I'm getting in the locker room. Hey, man, lock that door. I go, hey, lock the door. This one right here. Lock the door. Hey, defense, y'all over there. Offense over there. I say, hey, guess what? Turn out the lights. Let's
Uh-oh.
Go. Let's turn out the lights. Let's go. And I'm beating somebody's ass. I'm beating somebody's ass. I'm going to beat them like they stole something, Lauren. Like they stole something
okay,
from me.
Okay, Jerry, but who's are you going to be?
Because you got the on that O-line, offensive...
you got the coaching, you got the lack of a run game. There are a lot of
them.
Issues
I'm
here.
I'm grabbing them like this.
There's nobody in the room that's gonna perform, it looks like, you know, no matter what you
no,
do.
No. Okay. Lauren stated it. She said the defense, they're performing.
I'm talking about the offense.
Special teams performing. Offense, you're beating the hell out of all of them. You know how they do in hockey?
Yeah.
When they say, oh, Corey Crawford, he's got a lower body extremity. He's got a lower body injury. We don't know what that lower body injury is. He could have a bad toenail.
Yeah.
After they get out of this locker room, after the defense and the special teams beat the hell out of him,
yeah.
Oh, he's got a lower... lower body injury.
What if no matter what you do, they just don't have the talent on offense?
You're not listening to what I'm telling you.
I know, but it doesn't matter.
You ain't listening to me.
You can beat them up, but they're just going to bleed and they'll still be bad.
Let me tell you something.
They're getting Trubisky back. That's
Let me tell you something.
The answer to all the
and again,
problems.
Don't start with me. Don't start with me. Listen. Listen, I told you. I told you this. Listen. They may not be the most talented, but when you're, in my opinion, when your back is against the wall, and your life depends on it, you're going to fight like hell. You're fighting like hell.
I don't see a fight in them. I don't. I don't see a fight.
Yeah, I mean, it was back in the day that the defense did confront the offense, remember? Back in the Ditka days, I think?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? What happened? The offense stepped up and said, hell, screw y'all. Screw y'all. And they went out there and performed. And they brought home a World Series, a Super Bowl championship. You've got to take them by the collar and say, I'm tired of this kumbaya stuff. Oh, yeah, we're on the same page. Oh, we're all together. No one's going to divide us. Well, you've already divided yourself. You've already divided yourself. Because I'm telling you, these guys on Akeem Hicks, and I got to say, we're going to bring in Bruce Heron shortly, but Akeem Hicks, I don't know if it would have been that bad, Lauren, had he stayed in the game. But that hamstring... The Minnesota Vikings were chomping at the bit when they saw that he went left the game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do you see us going, Lauren?
Well, unfortunately, the news gets worse because the last person on earth we wanted to see is the next person we're going to see, which is Green Bay.
Right.
And, you know, it's
in Lambeau Field.
It's
in the frozen tundra.
Frozen tundra.
I don't even know what to say. So let's bring on somebody who can hopefully give us a little bit of hope regarding this Bears situation. We want to bring in our beloved number 51 linebacker, Bruce Heron. Bruce, welcome to the WCPT TR 60 hotline. I know you watched the game. I got to know, what's your assessment and where do we go from here? How are you, Bruce?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
Hey.
We're hanging in there, Bruce.
We're hurting.
I know.
And it's not getting better.
You can only imagine how I feel, man. I'm telling you. I truly expected them to perform a lot better than what they did. But you know what? It is what it is. I mean, you got a lot of guys hurt, but you know what? It really still no excuse because all these guys are professional. And, you know, even when you're a backup, you've got to be prepared to play at any given moment and then get in there and do the job. Maybe not do it as well as I'm sitting here watching the Green Bay Colts game and wondering, why in the hell can't we do some of this stuff?
But I felt like that many times.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, our offensive linemen, it's almost like it's a piecemeal group of guys that they've brought together because they've had so many injuries. And you know, like I said before, you know, even prior to the injury started happening with the offensive line, the starting five, I mean, they wasn't doing that much anyway. So it's I don't know. I think there's a whole lot of soul searching that has to be done, and it's a good thing that they've got this bye this week. They can mend some injuries and give the guys who are actually going to play in the next game, give them a chance to work with the team and practice and work out some of the kinks. So that's the only thing we can hope.
We've got Bruce Heron, number 51, Bears former linebacker, on the TR60 hotline. I want to ask you about Trubisky because now we're riding a four-game losing streak. People are saying the Bears have no choice but to go back to Trubisky to jumpstart this offense. At least he can move when the O-line is not protecting him. What are your thoughts with Trubisky being back possibly as the quarterback? Because Matt Nagy, he did not rule it out. So what say you, Bruce?
Well, my thought process is that, you know, he can't get any worse. I mean, we thought that we all were pulling for Nick Foles to come in and give the team a spark, and he did. He did the first game or two. But, you know, when you look at the stats are, you know, not any better and in some cases worse than when Trubisky was in there. Nick Foles just doesn't have the mobility. You look at quarterbacks in the NFL today. I mean, everybody's athletic. And if you don't have an athletic quarterback, at least a quarterback that can just step left or step right to, you know, bypass the pressure a little bit or step up in the pocket. And Foles just, I mean, he just doesn't have the mobility. And that's a sad thing. But, you know, in terms of Trubisky coming back, you might as well. I mean, you can't get any worse than what you're doing right now.
I'm a disagree with you, Bruce. And the reason
do you think Ray is the answer? We've seen that show before.
Wait a minute, we've seen Trubisky's show before too. Are you kidding me? And here's the reason why I disagree with you, and I'm going to use your words. I'm going to use your words from last week.
You're going to use my words against me, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to use your words against you, what you shared with us.
You're supposed to be my friend.
I am your friend. I love you. I love you to death. I'm going to use the words that you shared with our listening audience last week regarding the Bears and what you would do if you were the Minnesota Vikings attacking this Bears offense. If Mitchell Trubisky sets up behind center Cody Whitehair against the Green Bay Packers, or any other game the remaining part of the season, the great Bruce Heron said he would let it all hang out and just tell his defense to pin their ears back and attack the quarterback. And so if you put Mitchell Trubisky back there, I don't care how athletic he is, he still can't read NFL defenses. I'm going to tell my defense to pin their ears back and go get them.
Oh,
it's a fight. Hey, I'll meet you at the quarterback. And that's what I'm doing for Mitchell Trubisky. That's what I'm going to do.
That's how I would do the same thing. I would attack them. You know, I would attack them because the offensive line has not shown that they can handle pressure. And you know what? Last week, what was the linebacker's name that was on with us?
Sam Acho.
Sam said, you know, we talk about what would we do against the Bears in the game last week, and I said I would bring pressure damn near every snap.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Bringing pressure is not just blitzing. it's running the games with the offensive line. You know, it's faking 8-man front and dropping back. It's doing all those types of things, and so it's actually putting your defense in a position where they dictate the game.
Mm-hmm.
They dictate,
and that's the thing.
And they dictate the game by forcing the offense to respond to them when they don't want to, and throwing them off balance. And that's all I'm talking about.
Sure, and that's the reason why I wouldn't. First of all, Mitchell Trubisky is still not 100% as far as the shoulders are concerned. But secondly, he can't read NFL defenses. And like you say, you know, you put the Packer defense in front of Mitchell Trubisky, he's like a deer in headlights. You're gonna have, you know, different schemes set up for this kid. He's gonna think he's seeing one thing, and then the next thing you know, a linebacker is gonna drop back, or he's, you know, you're gonna bring up a corner, or you're gonna have the safety drift over, and Mitchell Trubisky won't know how to react to that. It's not gonna happen. At least with this, and they're saying that Nick Foles' injury isn't as serious as it looked, being carted off last week. But at least with the Nick Foles, to me. Because we can't. That guy's getting his brains beat in. He's getting his brains beat in. But at least you got something. You got something that maybe you can go with. But right now, man, it's just a matter of surviving and trying to get through this season. And we certainly need to talk about.
What would you do, Jerry?
What would I do?
What would you do?
I would. If Nick Foles is ready to go, and again, I would tell Mike.
But what if he's not?
Then. I would put the Bray kid out there. I would put him out there. Oh. Mitchell Trubisky.
Against Green Bay.
Mitchell Trubisky would be my third option. He would be my third option. He would be my third. You've got people, and we love you, and the fact that you're coming on every week talking with us about Chicago Bear football is phenomenal. But you got guys around the National Football League who are saying, you know what? The bus with Mitchell Trubisky, it's left the station. It's over. No, there's nothing else. Because here's what happens, Lauren, Marvelous, Bruce. If you put Mitchell Trubisky out there, and let's say he has some little success because he's scrambling around and running around, just like that 5-1 record, just like a 5-2 record, and we talked about smoke and mirrors. You're going to have people believing that Mitchell Trubisky is the answer, which means you're going to move forward with them. Even though you didn't pick up that option, you're going to try to move forward and say, hey, you know what? Maybe this is the kid and he's starting to mature and coming to his own. He's done. It's over.
No. There's no way that organization, anybody in that organization in a decision-making position, regardless of what Mitchell Trubisky does, if he gets back in there, can think that Mitchell is the answer going forward. Mitchell is not the answer going forward. He is not the answer. And they know that. They know that. That's why they're so reluctant to put him back in. But you know what? You can't do any worse than what you're doing right now with Mitchell back there. Let him play. Let him play. Let him play. Because we've seen Bray play before, and trust me, Bray is not. He's man, please. You know, bottom line is we don't have any options.
Sure. Well, this is Dan here. I think you're right. I mean, I don't think we can get Chase Daniels back. And but here's the thing. Here's the thing. There is a silver lining. Can you believe it?
Okay.
I mean, I was going to say put Patterson at a Wildcat, but that's another subject. Right now, this could be a good day for the Bears. Detroit got shut out. Minnesota lost, and Green Bay's in overtime. We may pick up a half game on everybody. And here's the thing. We play Houston and Jacksonville, who are terrible, and so that might be an even match. And the rest of the games are against divisional opponents, and maybe they're not so good. And maybe as bad as we are, playing mostly the division, we might have a chance if we can get it together a little bit. But I think that what's going to happen, what's going to happen is Foles is going to play, in my opinion, if he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to tell you something. If that offensive line, and you know, they've got two or three backups on the offensive line right now. If they get if between this past game, this week and the next time they step foot on the field, if they can develop some type of a chemistry, some type of timing, just to give Foles or whoever the quarterback is, give them an just an extra second and a half. Just an extra second and a half. You know what? We may be able to do some damage, because if the offense is somewhat decent, and you know what? It gives the defense hope, and they're playing their butts off. They're not feeling dejected. They're not feeling like they're putting all this energy out there and they're getting nothing back. Because that's what happens with our defense, with a great defense. When you got an offense that's just not toting their weight, you know, you go out there and bust your butt, and you get the ball back to your offense, you know, and then you come sit down and you sit down for a minute and a half, and you're back out on the field. So mm-hmm. what the hell, mm-hmm. you know? It's just, you know, I don't know, man. But my thing is, if they can develop some type of a chemistry with this offensive line in this during this break time, just some kind of chemistry, man, and get the guys to just play at a different level just a little bit, I think we got ourselves a chance. But that, you know, that's got to happen. That's got to happen regardless of who the quarterback is. And you know, I'm hoping that Foles can come back and play. But I mean, if it's going to be, you know, behind the line that is breaking down every other snap, holding penalties, getting beat, you know, it's just, you know, it's just, I mean, I saw so much just basic blocking they were missing out on. Just basic blocking. It was just terrible. Just terrible.
So, it sure was.
I don't know.
It sure was, Bruce. And
yeah,
head coach Matt Nagy, he stated that obviously we struggled mightily on offense. We had field position. We couldn't convert on that. It overshadows how well our defense played. It's been a consistent theme. It's been the same stuff over and over. He also said that he's undecided on who the quarterback is
week
12. It's all on the table. So I wanted to pose the question to you, Bruce. And you kind of talked about it a bit, but besides the quarterback, what do you think the Bears' biggest problem is? Because we were talking a bit about it earlier before the show. They're talking about, you know, pace, obviously, Nagy, but even going above and beyond the Bears' president. Somebody needs to answer for how the Bears have been playing consistently. We thought Matt Nagy was going to help us. Then, you know, the whole quarterback situation came into play. Now it's the O-line. The running game is pedestrian as well. Everything is going wrong. What do you think the Bears' biggest problem is? If you took off your linebacker hat, put on your owner's hat, what changes would you make?
First change I would make is you'd have to address the quarterback situation. You have to address the quarterback situation.
They did though, Nick Foles.
No. I'm talking about address the quarterback. I'm not talking about a patch where you put a Band-Aid on a 6-inch and a 6-inch wound that's 3 inches deep. You know. I mean, that's pretty much what they did with this Nick Foles thing. Nick Foles is not what wasn't the answer. I was hoping that they would go out and get Teddy Bridgewater or even Cam Newton. But, you know, when they went and got Foles, I said, oh, my goodness, you know. But, you know, if I'm the owner, you know, the one person that I have to address is the guy that's calling the shots, and that's the GM. The guy that's calling the shots is the GM. I mean, it's almost like when it comes to offense, to the offense, they don't have any talent scouts. It's like they cannot identify talent, and that's weird to me, man. It just don't make sense. They don't have a scheme. It seems like it. I'm not going to say they don't. It appears that they don't have a scheme that they're trying to find pieces to fit into their scheme. Hmm. You know, you look at Kansas City. First thing Kansas City looks at is speed. Man, they got so much speed on that damn team, both mm-hmm. offensive and defense. You know, and you know, speed kills, man. Anybody will tell you speed kills.
Yeah, it does.
You go out and get some. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
Bruce. But let me ask you this:
the GM has got to take some heat for this.
Well, let me ask you, and I agree with you. I totally agree with you. But how do we explain the GM and Ryan Pace? His selections on the defensive side of the ball have been pretty good. I mean, he got Roquan Smith. He got Eddie Jackson. He got this Jalen Johnson. I mean, his defensive moves have been pretty good. How does he become pedestrian like on the offensive side of the ball? How does that happen?
Man, you know, I have no idea. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how they missed on the quarterback situation in 2017. It just didn't make sense. How the hell do you miss on something like that when you got talent? They got four or five pieces in the college race, man, that you would have could pick for before you move all the way down to Trubisky. I don't get it, man. That was a move that I thought it was just a ridiculous move, man.
Yeah.
To begin with.
And you know what? Here's the interesting thing about that.
That messed up everything.
It certainly did. But if we go back over the history of the game, okay, and we look at some of the great quarterbacks who have come through this game, and even some of the mediocre quarterbacks, all those guys, they were pretty much star players in their respective teams on the collegiate level. They were stars.
Right.
They're mediocre at best. Some of them are mediocre at best and adjournment. Yeah. Look at Jameis Winston. You would think Jameis Winston would be able to start against with the New Orleans Saints with Drew Brees going down, but he wasn't. Right? Yeah. Marcus Mariota with Oregon. You would think that these guys would be able to make it to the next level and succeed based on what they were able to do on a collegiate level. I agree with you. How in the hell do you go, hey, you know what? This kid right here out of North Carolina, he's got something special. Out of all the quarterbacks who played in the National Football League, out of all of them, they all played at an elite level on a collegiate level. And some of them made it. Most of them didn't. But you see guy out of North Carolina, 13 starts under his belt, and you go, you know what?
Him.
That guy right there, he can lead this team. Let's go for him. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Here, Jerry,
zero.
They were picking him as a backup to Mike Glennon at the time. That's what was happening.
Zero. Zero. And you know what's a lost art? You know what's a lost art, Bruce? The lost art is, and we're watching Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers fight against the Indianapolis Colts. We're watching them fight in overtime.
Right.
But remember Aaron Rodgers, back up to Brett Favre. Brett Favre was like, he's going to have to take this job because I'm not going to give it up. But Aaron Rodgers did what is a lost art in the National Football League, where he put on his baseball cap, had the clipboard, and he stood and he watched the game on the sideline to learn.
That's right.
That's a lost art. And we see the success that he's having now, Hall of Fame career, Hall of Fame quarterback.
Sure.
It's a lost art. And it's I agree with you. It's missing. And Ryan Pace, and I'm going to throw it out there. I'm always on the soapbox. Let me say this to you.
Okay.
It's a damn shame. We're in 2020, and I'm ecstatic that we have, seven, eight black quarterbacks starting in the National Football League. I'm ecstatic behind that. But when you look at the number of African-American coaches, head coaches on the sideline, when you look at the number of African-Americans in the front office around the league, talk about pedestrian, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. And no offense to Ryan Pace. No offense to Ryan Pace. But if he's the best that you can find out there to lead an organization, to lead a franchise, to me, in 2020, and of course I know he's been there, there's something wrong with that picture. There's something wrong with that picture. It's the Rooney rule. It's a damn shame that you have to implement something like that.
Right.
It's ridiculous, it's pathetic, and it's embarrassing. And we're witnessing that here in Chicago with the Chicago Bears.
Year after year after year.
Well, it was a good day. We picked up a half game on Green Bay, Minnesota, and Detroit today.
Hey.
It wasn't a good day because I'm losing my mind.
I'll take it where I can get it, okay?
But, Bruce, seriously, I mean, you know, we talk about decisions that are being made, and, you know, there are some guys, and Bruce, I guarantee you, Ryan Pace has a pretty decent resume, but I believe, just like Trubisky, he was being groomed to take over this position. Regardless if he really qualified for it or not, he was being groomed for it. Doesn't mean he was the best candidate for it. And now we're actually, and this is what's the frustrating thing for me, is the fact that I'm a longtime Chicagoan. I've invested my time in my team. I've invested a few bucks in the teams because I support it. But to see a guy come in here and try to pull the wool over our eyes and say, oh, what you're seeing is not what you're really seeing. This is what you're seeing. But you think you're seeing this. No, we're not idiots. We're not stupid. We're not fools. And again, I told you, we have the two greatest athletes that ever played in their respective sports. Ever. Walter Payton in the National Football League and Michael Jordan in basketball. The two greatest. So you can't fool us. And for the Chicago Bears organization, front office, and Lauren said it, Ted Phillips, all the way down, there's something wrong there, man. There's something wrong there.
Yeah.
And every time they make these dumbass mistakes that they're making, it pushes everything back another year, two, three. And it's, to me, it's unacceptable. It's just totally unacceptable.
Well, you know, I agree with you, man. When you look at the level of lack of diversity with NFL teams, you know, I agree with you 100%. I mean, I've always looked at the NFL. Matter of fact, when I after I finished playing, I one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to get into the front office. I wanted to be a personnel director. I took the job as athletic director at Chicago State University. I was there for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Buddy Ryan became the head coach of Philadelphia, and Buddy wanted me to coach. And I never really wanted to coach. But what I did agree to was to, with Buddy, is to come in and work with the team during training camp for 6 weeks. And Buddy promised me that, he says, when the NFL executives come through, he would set up, he would make sure I got some FaceTimes with those folks. And he did. He kept his word. I got on the list. I was invited to the combine for like 4 years in a row there in Indianapolis. But I never got it. But I really never got a chance. And I gave up.
Wow.
I gave up.
Wow. That's terrible.
And,
it sucks.
Yeah, I gave up. But you know what? One thing about, And this conversation is really deep, because it's hurtful to have a conversation like that, especially when you look at the NFL and look at the product on the field, and you're talking about anywhere from 65% to damn near 80% of the players year in and year out are African American.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, not only are these guys over the course of the last 40 years, not only are they great athletes, but they're some really intelligent guys too.
Mm-hmm.
Sure,
and, exactly.
And the NFL is doing more today than they did, say, 20 years ago, in terms of having minorities in executive positions, but they're nowhere at the level that the NBA is.
Exactly. Here,
for a team like the Bears to have all the talent that they've had coming through, and most of these teams, they hire general managers, they hire assistant general managers, they hire player personnel directors, they presidents of the organization, 32 teams, man. And mm-hmm. let me tell you, how many Blacks do you see in those major positions, those top positions? Man, you can count them on, you probably can count them on
one hand.
Finger.
One hand. I think it's about four.
Yeah.
I think it's about four. This is what I would do, and I'll put it out there, and we got 90 seconds to wrap everything up. I played the clip of Walter Payton when he broke the record, 275 yards, single season, single game record, surpassing O.J. Simpson. What the Bears need to do, Bruce Arians, you can lead the charge. What they need to do, they need to get Brittany Payton, Jared Payton. Now, I don't even know if they're interested or not. They need to approach them, say, we're going to give you 25% of the Bears organization. You're part owner, 25% ownership of the Chicago Bears. We want you on our board. We want you in our front office. We want to hear what you have to say as far as decision-making is concerned, from personnel all the way up through the ranks. We want you to be a part of this organization because of what your dad did for the Chicago Bears. 25% ownership for the Peyton family. That's Brittany Peyton, Jared Peyton, and even Connie Peyton. Bruce, we got to go, man. It's the fastest hour in sports conversation. We love you, and we certainly will talk with you next week. Go Bears, Bruce. Take care, man.
Thanks, Bruce.
Go Bears.
Sounds good.
Hey, Jerry, quickly, I just wanted to say it was great to hear the late, great Joe McConnell calling the Peyton deal. And I wanted to quote Bill Jost, the late, great.
Oh, my. I love Bill Jost.
The Wildcats, fresh off their stunning upset of Notre Dame, blew a 21-point fourth-quarter lead in their number 25 national ranking when they lost a 17-point underdog, Miami of Ohio, 30-28. That's the answer to the trivia question. Nobody would ever get it.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah.